You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Friday. We've all made it through yet another week of the second Trump administration. It is day 291 of that administration, and it is less than a year to the midterms, exactly 360 days until we will face another major national election cycle. And of course, it is also still a shutdown, day 38 of that. We're going to keep these tickers going. Remember, one of the things that I'm tracking here on this program this afternoon, everybody, is how long does it take for Speaker Mike Johnson to find his spine, to figure out that Congress is actually the first branch of government, and to find some daylight between him and the president. So far, it is still day 291 of the second Trump administration, and it has been 291 days, and Mike Johnson still has no spine. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We got some great guests for you today at 5 o'clock, excuse me, at 4:30. So at the bottom of this hour, I'm going to be talking with Pamela Guthman. She has been a nurse here in the state of Wisconsin, focused on public health for her entire career. We're going to talk to her about the bigger picture here, about the challenges that Wisconsinites are facing. Forget the shutdown, just under the big, brutal bill when it comes to accessing insurance and keeping their families healthy. So stick around for that. But let's start out with this shutdown. There are a pair of bills that have been introduced by Senate Democrats, one of them from Wisconsin's own Tammy Baldwin. We'll get to that one in just a moment. But I want to start with a Democratic compromise proposal that was introduced today on the Senate floor by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Let's hear it in his own words. This is from just a wee bit earlier this afternoon from the Senate floor. Chuck Schumer saying enough is enough. Democrats will compromise on their demand that the tax credits or subsidies for the Affordable Care Act be restored. Let's take a listen to Senator Schumer this afternoon.
I've spoken with my caucus, and Democrats are offering a very simple compromise. Democrats are ready to clear the way to quickly pass a government funding bill that includes health care affordability. Leader Thune just needs to add a clean one-year extension of the ACA tax credits to the CR so that we can immediately address rising health care costs. That's not a negotiation. It's an extension of current law, something we do all the time around here, as we all know. But we also offer this. Let's create a bipartisan committee that will continue negotiations after the government reopens on reforms, ahead of next year's enrollment period, to provide long-term certainty that health care costs will be more affordable. This proposal reopens the government and ensures working families who are shopping right now for their health care get certainty and financial relief. While open enrollment has begun, insurers can update their rates after we pass a simple extension of the tax credits. With this approach, we do not negotiate health care in the shutdown, as Leader Thune has maintained he wishes, and the American people get the tax credit extension they want. That is what many of our Republican colleagues have floated over the last 6 weeks as a compromise, a one-year tax credit extension and reforms to the credit beyond that. We will agree with the Republican request not to start negotiations until after the government reopens. All Republicans have to do is say yes to extend current law for 1 year.
Folks, this is a big deal. Now, I have addressed this one-year extension idea in the past. This was about 2 weeks ago. Again, about, you know, 2.5 weeks into the shutdown. At that point in time, the proposal was coming from Republicans to extend the tax credits for the ACA, the subsidies, if you will, for just a year. Now, I think that this is pretty cynical coming from Republicans. Why? Because coming from Republicans, it was clear that what they were worried about was predominantly the midterms and taking hits from their constituents and perhaps losing their reelection bids. Well, we're now 2.5 weeks on, and as circumstances change, we also have to change our negotiating positions. While I personally am not a fan of a mere one-year subsidy extension for the ACAs, when you are in a negotiating standoff with a counterparty, solutions always lie where you give something up and so does the other side. That is literally the point of a negotiation. And any lawyer who's been involved in negotiations knows that what you have to have in your head is this acronym. It's called BATNA, B-A-T-N-A, the best alternative to no agreement. And what Republicans, Donald Trump, and the MAGA movement have missed here is that they have no best alternative to no agreement. Poll after poll in the last 2 to 3 weeks has shown that Americans are blaming MAGAs for the shutdown. So the shutdown continuing is not a salient alternative for Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. This was made more clear this past week with a Democratic blue wave in basically every single election at every single level across the country. And it is made clear by Donald Trump's new pressure on Republicans to end the filibuster, which Leader Thune has refused to consider. There are approximately 15 Republican senators who have come out publicly and said there's no way we're ending the filibuster because they can see that a short-term gain will lead to long-term harm for the Republican Party, despite Donald Trump's protestations to the contrary. So, again, I return to this fundamental point. In a negotiation, you have to consider what your position's best alternative to no agreement is. And there is no upside for MAGAs. People are going hungry. Donald Trump is throwing a Gilded Age party at Mar-a-Lago. Republicans refuse to talk about the ACA, which is overwhelmingly popular. The ACA, whose largest group of enrollees by political affiliation is Republicans. This is hurting Republican constituents proportionately more than it is hurting constituents of Democrats. They have no best alternative to no agreement. So, though I do not like the one-year extension because it does provide Republicans with some cover in the midterms, it is, I believe, a politically savvy move by Senator Chuck Schumer and the Democratic caucus in the Senate because they are effectively trying to give up something to meet Republicans, the MAGAs, halfway. You don't want to negotiate a full overhaul to healthcare. You don't want to have a full negotiation on ACA subsidies. Even some Republicans have floated the one-year extension of the ACA credits, as I mentioned about 2.5, 3 weeks ago. So Schumer is saying, yeah, we'll take you up on that. We'll give up our demand that the ACA subsidies be refunded, restored in perpetuity. We'll accept that for a year because we understand that the American public cannot bear any continued failure to negotiate in good faith. So Democrats are showing a willingness to negotiate in good faith. Remember that part of what Chuck Schumer is saying is also a calling of the bluff by the MAGA movement. We've heard time and time again about concepts of a plan, pages and pages of a plan, that we've got all these ideas and ideas happening about how to make healthcare more efficient, more affordable, and more effective, higher quality for Americans. Of course, none of us have ever seen any of that legislation, ever. So Chuck Schumer's also calling the MAGA party on this. He's effectively saying, all right, challenge accepted. We will step back from our demand that the ACA subsidies be fully restored in perpetuity. We will agree to do that and refund the government the subsidies only for a year. This will give you, MAGAs, a year to put forward your legislation that is the magic bullet for what is the American healthcare crisis, I may say. So, here is where we're at. a reasonable compromise solution being put forward by Senate Democrats. What we have on the other side is a threat from the president to end the filibuster, Americans continuing to go hungry, an appeal by the Trump administration late last night to the court's order that the partial funding of SNAP benefits was not a good faith compliance with the court's order. That judge out of Massachusetts saying, no, administration, you have to go fully fund SNAP benefits. Instead of taking that directive as possible political cover and fully funding the SNAP benefits as they've done for other MAGA budget priorities, the Trump administration appealed that. They would rather have people go hungry over the Thanksgiving holiday than simply follow a court's order. So my hat is off to Senator Schumer this afternoon. Negotiation is never something that is particularly tasteful. It never gets you all of the things you want. But in politics, in legislating, there must be compromise for us to have a functioning government. And my hat is off to Governor Tony Evers, who wasted no time in the wake of that federal court's ruling last afternoon to hit the green button and fully fund every single Wisconsinite's SNAP benefit card, or food share as it's known here. This, folks, is what you actually call leadership. Compromising on the part of Senate Democrats and taking the moment, taking the opportunity, as Governor Evers just did overnight, to, frankly, take advantage of the court's ruling and dare the Trump administration, calling their bluff. We're going to fully fund these SNAP benefits. People's cards, as I understand them, their food share cards are fully funded this morning. And say, President Trump, take away people's food. Take it out of their mouth. If that's what you want to do, you're going to have to pay the political costs for doing that. This is what real politics looks like. This is what real legislating looks like. This is what real leadership looks like. And right now, it is only coming from Democrats. Say what you will about historical wrongs or missteps or whatever you will. But in this moment today, on November 7th of 2025, the only party showing the ability to step up and fight for the American public are Democrats, Democratic governors, Democratic candidates, Democrats in the Senate. And I'll add this note, Senator Tammy Baldwin, later this afternoon, introduced a bill to fully fund Head Start during the shutdown. Are there no leaders left in MAGA? Certainly seems to be the case. When we come back, I'll talk about the Supreme Court's hearing of tariff arguments earlier this week on Wednesday, and give you this lady lawyer's take on what all of that may mean for your family's economic health. Stay with us. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday afternoon to one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. In the first segment of this show on this Friday afternoon, I discussed the Democratic proposal in the Senate to end the shutdown. It is a compromise position. The president has basically been flailing about wildly since Democrats ran the board in toto on Tuesday. But of course, Fox News and Donald Trump and the entire right-wing liosphere are now talking about and fixated on the Walmart Thanksgiving dinners. So before I move on to the tariff oral arguments before the Supreme Court this past Wednesday, I want to take this up and I'm going to thank our listener, Mark from Prairie du Sac, for raising this point, because it's a lie. At the very least, you would call it a massaging of facts to present a distorted picture to their listeners, their viewers. This came from a Donald Trump Truthy Social post earlier today that said Walmart just announced that prices are down for Thanksgiving dinner 25%. Affordability is a Republican stronghold. This is insane, by the way. Okay. This is both insane and a lie. Let's explain the lie. The current Walmart 2025 Thanksgiving dinner in a box serves 10 people for $40 or $4 per person. 2024's Thanksgiving meal in a box served 8 people for $56 or $7 a person. But you have to look at what's in the box, right? You know, like the things like shrinkflation, downgrading of quality product, not providing the things or as many of the things that people want, providing smaller portions of them. Yeah, that's what Walmart did, which, by the way, I talked about Walmart doing this when their last earnings call occurred with the chief economist from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, Benga Ajilore. That Walmart CEO said on the earnings call, yes, we're changing our, quote, product mix as we're losing some of our core constituency of customers. We are effectively substituting lower quality, lower quantity products to try to keep people in our stores. They focus on traffic, foot traffic. And guess what, folks? That Thanksgiving to-go box meal, yeah, that's exactly what Walmart did. There are fewer items. There are not brand name products. There's no pre-made pie, cranberry sauce, or onions. And in fact, the turkey cost within the box is up from last year. So this is, again, an example of Foxy News, Truthy Social, and Republicans like Mike Johnson, like Donald Trump, lying. Selective fact emphasis to present a completely distorted picture of what's going on to the American public. Let's go through some points here. A whole frozen turkey, 10 to 16 pounds, average price in 2024, last year at this time, 88 cents per pound. Same thing this year, 97 cents per pound. Again, you can pick almost anything that you want. Things are more expensive when you do a product-to-product comparison from last year to this year. Those are the facts. Again, I can put fewer of those things in a box. I can put lower quality of those things in a box. I can put the things in the box that you don't really want to serve on Thanksgiving and leave out of the box the things that you really do want to serve on Thanksgiving and call that box cheaper. But that means I've manipulated the products in the box to try to present a lie to you that things are cheaper, which, of course, Donald Trump doubles down on. The lying on Fox News is truly, truly beyond the pale. And here's what I would say, and I'll credit Gary from Madison on our text line for pointing this out. Hey, DJT. Hey, congresspeople that refuse to actually compromise to negotiate in good faith, why don't you all feed your families the Walmart Thanksgiving in a box meal? How about you do that and then tell everybody else to eat that? Unless you're willing to legit eat the same food at the same cost that regular Americans are or might be forced to because of your heartless, thoughtless, solutionless, political suicide-esque positions that you're taking right now, I suggest you shut up. Affordability is a Republican stronghold. That's what Donald Trump truthy posted today. My suggestion to Donald Trump is walk in the footsteps of people that rely on SNAP and Badger Care and Medicaid. You spend 1 week trying to make a budget work like these folks have, you leave behind your gilded palace, your ballroom in the theme of Louis XIV, and you try it for a week, Mr. President, and then tell me about how MAGAs are all about affordability. It is a lie. A damn lie, if I will. 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Civic. 855-752-4842. Next up, we're going to be joined by nurse Pamela Guthman, who has spent her entire career here in Wisconsin looking at public health issues. We're going to talk about the bigger picture of what is happening with the ACA and Badger Care, aka Medicaid, here in the state of Wisconsin. I promise you all, I will take some time on Monday to talk about the tariff case that's before the Supreme Court, because it is fascinating what the Solicitor General argued there, which was, in essence, that this has nothing to do with the revenues that are being generated from these tariffs. I wonder if he's talked to the president about that, because that seems to be Donald Trump's entire justification. Stay tuned. We talk with Nurse Guthman next, right here on Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've just been informed that, unfortunately, Nurse Guthman will not be able to join us. But don't you fear, because I am still here with each and every one of you. Join our conversation for the next half hour, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Here's the interesting thing. Because as we were talking about the shutdown, as we were dissecting Donald Trump, his Truthy Social, the Fox News lies about the Walmart Thanksgiving box dinner, and the fact that it actually does not reflect any decrease in consumable prices, just lower quality, lower quantity stuff. I think it is incredibly important to point out, and I want to thank Greg, who is one of my producers on this program, for sharing this factoid with us, because the context here is really important. The Walton family, the owners of Walmart, their net worth went up by $28 billion, as I understand it, through the end of September in this year. Their total family net worth is somewhere in the ballpark of $430 to $450 billion. And as a reminder, if you spent $10 million a day for over 125 years, you would not spend $432 billion. That's the way the math works. And so, you know, who made out like bandits with the brutal bill and the Trump welfare for the wealthiest in his first administration? The Waltons did, Elon Musk did, Jeff Bezos did, George Soros did. And if the big brutal bill, let's just say hypothetically, that it maintained funding and merely increased the efficiency in programs like Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, veterans benefits, Head Start, etc., I still would not support it with tax cuts, with welfare for the wealthiest. If the big brutal bill instead, in a beautiful way, as it claimed to be, would have provided tax cuts for the bottom 70% of income earners in this country, which are the vast majority, near 90% of all small business owners. If it would have done that and actually instituted small to incremental medium style policy changes to Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, VA, what have you, to actually make those more efficient programs without forcing people who are duly entitled to those benefits off of those benefit rolls, then I could have supported a beautiful bill like that. But that's never been, least in the last 50 plus years since Richard Nixon, that is not what Republicans do. So the through line between talking about the shutdown, talking about the SNAP benefits in the first half hour of today, and my support, somewhat begrudgingly, because it is a compromise position, of what Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, on behalf of all Senate Democrats, put forward today to agree to fund government. If Republicans compromise and agree to restore the tax credits and subsidies for insurance under the ACA, why I support that? What is all of this about? This is all about what is the proper function and role of government. How do we pay for it? Who should pay more than other people? And if you strip all of the partisanship away, the fundamental message that excuses or is the fig leaf by which the MAGA movement excuses taking food out of people's mouths, shoving babies out of Head Start and young children out of the Head Start program, slashing veterans' benefits, cutting Medicare and Medicaid by nearly $1 trillion each, that will harm people that you know and love by making it harder for working people to continue to work and improve their family's situation to try to achieve success. All of that, that fig leaf gets trussed up, is fundamentally about a message of people that need help don't deserve help. So I want us to think pretty deeply about the concept of deserve. I've talked about this before. You talk to any wealth manager who deals with people who either started a business, were very successful, or deals with their kids, their grandkids, and their great-grandkids. Again, wealth management. And they will tell you that the problems don't exist with the original folks that started the business and put their blood, sweat, and tears into it and built themselves a fortune. The problems arise with the subsequent generations who screw up the business but think they're entitled to all the wealth and or don't work at all and think they're entitled to a life of leisure and perpetuity. I don't know anyone who is struggling financially who is not working or doesn't want to work. The only people that I have ever known that have lived life of leisure is when I have happened to brush up against people with extraordinary wealth, inherited wealth. So tell me about deserve. Don't people in our state, in our families, in our communities deserve the government to provide some help when they are struggling? Why does the great, great, great grandchild of Rockefeller, who created monopolies and all kinds of anti-capitalist, anti-competition cheats within the system back in the Gilded Age, which is what Donald Trump wants to take us back to, why does the great, 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 great grandkid not get to work at all, ever? That's not deserving to me. Isn't there some point at some level of wealth where we say, that might actually create incentives and behaviors that we, most of us, the vast majority of us, don't think are good things? Laziness, entitlement, snobbery, looking down on other people who might not have the accident of birth that provides them with a lifetime of ultra wealth and complete leisure. Isn't there some level, some dollar amount where you're like, I don't know. As it stands today, a married couple can pass nearly $25 million of wealth to their kids without paying a penny in tax on it. It's like 27 some odd million now. Holy cow, $27 million, not a penny of tax on it? Tell me how those kids deserve $27 million without a penny of tax on it. Explain that to me. I'm not saying they shouldn't get some of it without tax. Sure, let's say $5 million. But shouldn't we be able to tax just a couple of percent? Everything over five? No, right now, that is not the tax code that the MAGA movement wants. And what they did pass in the big brutal bill is the largest redistribution of wealth from working poor people in this country to the wealthiest of the wealthiest of the wealthiest. The poorest tenth, in other words, the bottom 10% of people in our country who don't have any dollars to lose, who are barely hanging on by their fingernails. The total impacts of the big brutal bill, it's going to cost them around $2,600 per year. They're going to lose income. The richest tenth, they're going to gain $7,200. And here's the trick about that. Dollars also have diminishing marginal returns. If you've never heard this phrase, it's pretty easy to understand. It's a fancy pants economics term. Diminishing marginal return. What does that mean? It means that if you're poor, every $100 has a relatively huge impact. Increase in $100 has a relatively huge impact on your family's well-being. Likewise, the loss of $100 has a relatively huge negative impact on your family's well-being. But when you're sitting on a pile of $432 billion, you get $100, you're like, ugh, that's what falls out of my pocketbook. Wealth in and of itself has a diminishing marginal return to the wealth holder. You can only buy so much stuff. Remember the first car you ever got? How important that was to you? Maybe it was your first bicycle. Maybe you had to save for it. That has a huge impact on your life, on your well-being, on your thinking, on your mental outlook. But when the richest of the rich, with their names on buildings, passing down generations of wealth to kids who will never have to work, when they buy their 10th Rolls Royce, do you think it has the same value to the person or the family whose car just broke down and they need to get to work and their kids to school and they don't have transportation? That is the concept of diminishing marginal returns. It is okay for us to talk about wealth in those terms. Again, the big brutal bill has robbed from the poor to give welfare to the wealthiest. It is the anti-Robin Hood bill. And the shutdown, though it seems unrelated, it's the result of that kind of brutality as a core policy objective from the MAGA movement, right? The government is shut down now because Democrats are responding on one small thing to the brutality of that bill. That is Americans' ability to access healthcare. Not in a perfect system, in a system that needs incredible reforms, but it's the system that we've got right now. It's the system that people need to access right now in order to have healthcare for themselves and their family. So the brutality of the MAGA policy machine is reserved only for working people. It exhibits no brutality for those that don't need the tax cut. It gives more welfare to the wealthiest. It gives them handout after handout while turning the eye of judgment and disdain and this concept of deserving on the poorest among us and on the middle class. If we are a country that believes in bootstraps and hard work and a work ethic, if we're a state known for our work ethic, then why in gosh name do we continue to focus our brutality, our judgment, our moral condemnation on those that have fallen on hard times, while those that reap the benefits without working a day from the wealth created generations before get nothing but the best and more handouts? It is unconscionable. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. Join us. What do you think about the Senate Democrats' compromise position? 1 year of an extension of ACA subsidies and a challenge to Republicans to put forward their health care reform plans. Join me. Let's debate it on the other side. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking pretty broadly about the concept of deserve and what the government's fundamental purpose is. And make no mistake, when I talk about tax policy and deserving and these things, I have no problem with small and medium business size owners, entrepreneurs, folks that have started their own businesses and have been able to, through their hard work and diligent savings, save enough to retire, save enough to help their kids with college or buy a first home. That's not at all who I'm concerned about. In fact, those people, that's the American dream. That's what everybody wants a shot at, to while away the hours in retirement without worry, to be able to help your kids when they need it. That's the American dream, to know that your kids will do better. And I ask you, does anything in the big, brutal bill make those dreams more possible? And the answer is no. And it inverts the entire moralistic construct that has been a virulent strain in the Republican Party. It turns it on its head. How do the people with the most deserve more and the people with the least deserve less? How does that make our country stronger? Our economy is a consumer-driven economy. Let's be clear. The ultra, ultra, mega wealthy, they're not huge consumers of goods, not in the way that helps spur our economy forward, especially those that simply inherited generations worth of wealth that are the folks of leisure, free riding on their ancestors' hard work and or anti-competitive practices. It turns those concepts on its head. It points the finger at people who are working and in need. It points the finger at folks that are disabled or caretaking, folks that are struggling in retirement, and says, you're to blame. When in my opinion, the blame lies with an economic system that has created one of the greatest, if not the greatest, wealth inequalities that our country has ever seen, from a place where we saw the least wealth inequality in the late 50s into the 60s and early 70s. We went from having the least wealth inequality that our country has ever seen in that period of time to having the greatest this year. And does the big brutal bill, taking food out of the mouths of hungry, taking healthcare away from those that cannot otherwise afford it and need it, from stripping, again, Medicare and Medicaid away, is that going to solve our wealth inequality problem, which is the true destruction of the American dream? It certainly won't. And I've said this before, and I want to say it again here. For folks that, in my opinion, voted for Donald Trump because they accurately perceived that the economic system in this country is rigged against them, let me ask you a very fundamentally basic question. You really think it's black and brown folks, immigrants and gay folks and women who have never been the sole to primary beneficiaries of the productive capacity of this country, who have never been the ones to hold in any sustained way the true levers of power in this country? It's the women, it's the black and brown folks, the immigrants and the gay folks that have their boot on the middle class's neck? Or do you think it might be more likely that it is the wealthiest of the wealthy who have stolen since 1981 $51 trillion of wealth from the middle class? Might it be the billionaire class and the mega corporations and the tech titans that have created a shared sense of fear and anxiety in each heart and mind of so many working people in this country? Might that maybe be who to blame? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The big picture question is on the table. whether we're talking about blame or deserving and how our economy and government should function and for whom and to whose benefit, as well as the micro question this afternoon, what do you think of Senate Democrats' compromise proposal to end the shutdown, which is, hey, Republicans, you agree to fund the ACA subsidies for 1 year and then put forward your magic pill of healthcare reform, and we'll have that debate after the government's funded. What do you think about it? We got Charles from Milwaukee. Hey, Charles, happy Friday to you, sir. What you got
hey,
for us?
Happy Friday, Maggie. You know, I've always said this. I don't think the system was ever set up for everybody to make a six-figure income. Or, you know, you look at jobs like fast food restaurants or retail jobs. Well, people will say, well, those jobs are for teenagers. Well, school-age kids are only able to work till a certain time. So then you got to have adults working those jobs. And the greedy owners aren't going to pay those workers a living wage. There's no way you should work a 40-hour-a-week job and not be able to pay all of your bills and
Bingo.
Still be able to put up a little bit of money.
We can calculate an actual minimum wage and pay people that, but we don't. Why? So that the Walton family can increase their already obscene wealth by another $28 billion when they're paying people $7.25 an hour in their stores? Do they deserve that? Or do we deserve to have our neighbors, friends, and loved ones paid actual dignity wages? It ain't that hard, folks. I'm going to take a breath. We're going to come on back on the other side. We got a great guest coming up. We'll try to sneak in a couple more calls. We're going to be talking to Professor Stephen Wright of UW Law School about the Voting Rights Act. Because what are they coming for? To keep us poor and divided? Your right to vote.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.